welcome to Recovery Internet Radio, broadcast direct from Straight Up Studios. I'd like to give our special thanks to our sponsor, Rose Painting and Drywall, decorating Chicagoland since 1969. Contact Tom for a quote at area code 815-735-4654. Now, without further ado, our host, Rick Atwater.
Thanks, Chris. Welcome to everybody tonight. Hi, everybody. And to our studio audience and musicians, sometimes multiple, sometimes single. Tonight, our tag is A Rocky Road from Relapse to Recovery, and our guest is Tammy. And our musical guest tonight is Mike P., who's here about, what would you say, about half the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's say every other, give or take. So thanks for coming tonight. Thanks for joining us tonight, this Sunday night, where we are every Sunday night at 8 o'clock.
Every single one,
except when we pre-record. And thanks to our engineer slash sidekick slash part-time producer,
hey,
Chris Atwater.
I prefer big-time producer.
Big-time producer.
That's all right.
And the band, the person that gives us our intro music, Brendan O, who's his music. Mm-hmm. Also want to say a couple of quick things about, I want to just thank everybody who's listening. And, you know, we're almost at 11,000 listens, and which amazes me that there's that many people out there listening. But it's just really thrilling to me that you all are out there listening. So, but being that it's an internet radio show, we have no idea where you're listening from. You could be anywhere. You could be listening via podcast. You could be on your phone. You could be on your PC. You could be in Alaska, Manhattan. I know we have listeners in Manhattan. I know we have listeners in Missouri. So I'd like to hear from you. So you can contact us via our website, which is recoveryinternetradio.com. So let us know where you're from. And also, by going to the website, you can put your email address there so that you'll get a reminder for the show and you'll know what the upcoming shows are before we run them. And you can also go to the website to listen to any of our archived shows.
Yes, you can.
And what's the deal on podcast? How does somebody find us if they want to listen to us via podcast?
There's a link to the iTunes store on the website.
Okay.
Or if you're just feeling frisky and want to go to iTunes, just search for Recovery Internet Radio and voila, you can subscribe. And then each week it will automatically update your fancy new iPhone 5 or whatever you might have. And bada bing, you can listen to the show anywhere you go.
Okay. That's good. We have a call-in number, and if you have any questions or comments or opinions, God forbid, you can call us at 323-792-2977, or you can tweet us, and we can get that live and respond to you, and you can tweet us at Rick Atwater.
We actually have someone on the line right now, but they're pretty early, so if you're on hold, just stay on hold for a little bit and let's get the show started and I'll check you out.
Yeah, hang on, because I forgot to tell you. Oh, yeah, we got live. You might get a live question.
Probably a fan.
Yeah.
We haven't even started the show yet.
So they don't really see the wave, but that's okay.
Oh, well, I'm waving.
Okay, so also a couple of quick things. Keep up with one of our favorite bands, Double Take. I always like to give them a plug because they're friends of ours, and you can find out about Double Take or their upcoming gigs by going to doubletakechicago.com. That's doubletakechicago.com.
Chicago.
Chicago.
Yep.
Pronounced with a Chicago accent.
Chicago.
And also, I want to mention some friends that do cards for recovery events, and their business is Dirty Laundry Designs. Fresh cards for addiction and recovery, and you can get to them by via email by going to Colleen@dirtylaundrydesigns.com or calling 815-245-1209. And Colleen sent us a nice card. I want to just let her know that we got it. thanking us for the time that we had around the show to explain her business.
Well, that was very nice.
I thought it was very nice. It was the first card we ever got for Recovery Internet Radio. So, I mean, I was thrilled. So I had to mention that. A couple other quick things. National Medication Take Back Initiative, Saturday, September 28th. That's this coming Saturday. And what that means is if you have, what is it? It's basically pills.
Prescription medication. Whatever, yeah.
Not liquids, not injectables, not needles, anything like that.
They'll actually take anything.
Well, they said they wouldn't, but they will?
They do.
Okay.
Well, that's good.
All right. We have information from the studio audience that they'll take anything. Basically, it's almost all of the police departments in McHenry County, Illinois, but I'm sure in your area it would be at the police department or someplace. But you can check the National Take Back Initiative. Check that online and see where they're taking the stuff. It's a good idea because you don't want that stuff laying around. You don't want to pollute the water supply, number one, and you don't want to leave it where your kids can get it, number two. So, and this one last thing, this is National Recovery Month. There's lots of things going on in regards to recovery and recognizing recovering people. So we hope that you think about that. And I don't know, hug a recovering person this month. If you know one, they're out there. They're everywhere.
Just hug them. And
yeah.
Maybe they'll know, maybe they won't.
Yeah, just give somebody a hug. It's probably a recovering person. Okay. So tonight's guest is Tammy C., and I've known Tammy for a while.
Yes.
How long have I known you? I bet you I've known you.
About 15 years.
15 years.
About
there. And so we were gonna make an attempt to do this a little bit differently tonight, and rather than just start at the beginning, we were going to kind of start like where you are now and then maybe jump back to the beginning and see how things went. But just, can you tell us a little bit, well, how long have you been sober?
9 years and 3 months.
But
June 12th, 2003. I don't know how many hours, but...
Like, who's counting, right?
Yeah, right.
9 years and 3 months.
Yeah, who would have thought, huh?
Who would have thought? Which is exactly why I wanted you here. Because
yes.
that's a story that needs to be told. What's your, how are things for you now?
They're good. I'm very grateful today. I have a couple jobs and I have a roof over my head and I have a car that works and family that loves me and a lot of friends in AA. So things are good.
They weren't always that way.
No, not at all.
I didn't know 9 years. I was thinking maybe six or seven.
2003?
Yeah.
June?
Okay.
It's hard to believe.
That's fantastic. Did you ever think that you would be living like this?
No.
No?
Not at all. I never thought I would get it. Mm-mm.
Were there others that thought you'd never
Everybody. Everybody. My family and the rehabs and the several visits to detox. They're all like, you again, you know, we should lock you up in a closet, not let you out. I thought that was pretty rude, but, you know, maybe it would have worked then,
but
I never thought, I really never thought I would ever get it. It was a hopeless feeling, because then I would go back out.
Yeah.
I would think, I'm never going to get it.
Do you remember the last that you had a drink?
I do. I was... 3 months sober at a halfway house.
you can say which one.
Yeah, if I remember.
Yeah.
There were so many.
Women's residence.
It was in Lyle.
Oh, it was Lyle, so.
And I had gone to Keys to Recovery for a 28-day program first. Finally took a suggestion and went to a halfway house after that. I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, it was in Lyle. It was a beautiful, nice apartment complex. And because I had 3 months sobriety, I was able to get a weekend pass. Mm. So a woman that I met there, her and I went to some property that I had. And I don't know if it was even 30 minutes in the car. And all of a sudden, my mind just said, let's go get a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me and she said, "We can't, you know, we're in rehab. You know, we're in a halfway house." I said, "Well, nobody's going to know."
Hmm.
But I held that in for a while before I said it to her because I knew it was wrong.
Sure.
And I was thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't say it. Then, you know, I
yeah.
had to.
Yeah.
See if he was in or not. So, so went to the liquor store. And I want to say it was a couple days that we just drank and didn't stop when we were down at the property. And we called the halfway house that we were at. We told them what happened. And they said, "Well, if you stop drinking now and you come back, we'll let you in. We are too drunk to drive."
Yeah.
So we couldn't go back. So we kept drinking.
Mm.
And then we actually called a hospital in Mendota. And she... we detoxed. She detoxed twice. I don't really even remember how long we were there. I want to say maybe 2 weeks. Maybe not even 2 weeks.
Hmm.
And she went twice to detox, and I went once.
And then where would you go after detox?
Well, then I called the husband I was married to at the time.
Yeah.
And he was detoxed down there, and I said, "I can't stop drinking again. Can you come and pick me up?" Frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Came down and picked me up.
You were frustrated, or he was frustrated?
He was very
both?
Frustrated.
Yeah.
I just couldn't stop. I mean, once we had started for those days, you know, even detoxing down in Mendota, they don't even have good stuff to detox off of, so don't even try it there. But
Mendota.
It was awful.
Yeah.
We had to rough that one out.
Yeah.
So I had called him, and I said, "My friend is still down there, and I just can't stop. So can you come pick me up?"
What? But even though he had it with you, more or less,
he would
still come and pick you up. Was the thought that you couldn't stop?
I was so scared calling him.
Yeah.
Because I knew he would be mad, and I thought this is it.
Well, why didn't he just say, "No, I'm not going to come pick you up"?
I guess he loved me. Enabler, you know.
That is the word I was looking for.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Was
well, I didn't want to put a label on him. And,
yeah.
and you know.
Well, we don't know who he is. He is anonymous.
Right.
So.
Well, he's probably listening. Hi.
Hey. Yeah.
You know who you are. So, and then it was like, that's it. This is it now. No more. Because, you know, he had said before that would be it. I'm going to kick you out if you drink again. You know, that's it. I'm not going to take this anymore. We're done. You have to leave if I see you drink again, blah, blah, blah.
Can I ask you how many times he had said that?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
there were so many. No,
you,
I know. A lot.
Just for people's information, that's...
Probably 10.
Yeah. And
we were married 8 years.
Yeah. And every time you probably meant it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, me in the mode of addiction, you know, in my addiction, I thought... Okay, and then a little part of me said, he's not going to kick me out. So that...
Why did you think that?
Because he didn't before.
Yeah. Right.
And if I, you know, I'm sorry and I'm really sorry about it, he'll take me back.
Right. And you were really sorry about
and
it.
And I was.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Right.
And then I didn't think about that when I wanted to drink again.
Right.
And I would think just a little bit and he'll never know.
Yeah, because that's what you said when you guys went and got that bottle after the halfway.
Yeah, we were going to stay there for a weekend.
They wouldn't know.
Right. We would get drunk for a couple
pass.
Days,
yeah.
right, and
yeah,
we'd
yeah.
be fine by Sunday, and and we'd go back and nobody would know.
Nobody would know, yeah.
But you can't stop.
Right.
We couldn't stop.
Right. And do you really think, now looking back on it, do you really think that no one would know, even if you did stop?
Yes.
You think they wouldn't?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. If I didn't tell, or I didn't have that guilty look on my face, which it's really hard to hide.
Yeah.
I know you're
a lousy liar.
Yeah,
I
don't lie very
liar.
Good.
You,
right,
yeah,
right.
They would know.
I can't.
Yeah.
I'd probably give myself up anyway.
You would have outed yourself.
Sure,
right.
sure.
But that was your brain, so your brain told you that they didn't know. That's all it did.
And we really wanted to do it just for like 2 days.
Sure.
And that's my mindset every time I relapsed. I'm just going to have
just
a little,
just
or
a little.
I'm just going to do it tonight. I'm going to get home before my husband comes home. I'll be sober. Never, ever. Did it go as planned?
That's the thing that the idea that notion that you can control it, mm-hmm. even after all of this, and we'll work our way back because
sure.
we don't know, our audience doesn't know what all of this is
sure.
yet.
Sure.
But after all of this,
sure.
your brain is still telling you.
Even after 3 months. And I had a straight 3 month sobriety. I mean,
right.
I was locked up for 28 days. Then we were a little free. Then we got to live in an apartment. Got to go to work.
And the staff was talking to you every day.
Yes,
and
we had the meetings.
Yeah,
and
meetings,
we went to work. And I stayed
sober. They thought
and
you were
the
doing
minute,
well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the mind.
What would you, yeah, what do you call, I mean, how do you explain that? Or can you?
I don't know if I can. It was I just recall thinking maybe freedom.
Hmm. That's what your brain told you that
maybe
yeah.
freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're not around. But I full well planned to stay sober.
Yeah. Up until that moment
right.
when that thought comes in and I've heard the phrase "the insanity of alcoholism."
Mm-hmm. The insanity of it.
So it does, I guess really looking for an explanation is kind of lame because there probably isn't really a good explanation.
Right.
It doesn't because it doesn't really make sense.
It doesn't.
Yeah. So let's work our way back then. Maybe can you talk about like what it was like? Were you ever a normal drinker?
Yes. In high school.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Do you remember what
I
was
actually
like?
A normal drinker until I was 30.
Okay.
I just drank like everybody else. I drank at parties.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And we could also hear what you just whispered.
Oh. We are going to talk drugs.
Yeah, we can talk drugs. Yeah, we are going to talk about drugs. Yes, we can talk about
drugs. All
right.
Drugs. So, well, that's part of it.
It's part of it. Absolutely.
Addiction is addiction for me. I'm addicted to dating, and it makes me feel good.
Sure.
So,
would you like some potato chips?
Not food.
Oh, that we can do? Okay.
So, what was the question?
Well, okay, so were you a normal drinker? And then we're going forward.
Yeah,
I did, like, in high school, yeah.
You know, I smoked pot. I thought like everybody else. Got high before school started and then after school. And I grew up where we had a bar in the basement. My family, my parents liked to entertain. We had a lot of entertainment and parties and stuff like that. And I would ditch school and we would all hang out at my house because we had a lot of food in the fridge, pies and things that all teenagers like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we had a bar. So I just started playing around with sweet drinks and making up some foo-foo stuff and drank normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had a couple drinks, smoked a little pot, and I was fine for the rest of the night. I didn't have any more. I didn't need any more. I didn't want any more.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for a long time.
And then were other people around you, not drinking normally or like friends of you? Did you notice what not normal would look like, or didn't it even occur to you?
I didn't notice.
Wasn't on the radar.
No.
Yeah.
It's
alcoholism.
Not like nobody that I drank with really got really drunk and threw up. Well, I threw up a lot, but I didn't notice anything different in anybody else that I was doing.
Yeah. Okay. So everybody was basically doing the same thing.
Right.
Nobody was like...
We all just partied at my house.
Right.
And...
Were you a good kid?
I was good. I was just a rebel. As far as, I grew up very strict,
mm-hmm.
in a very strict family.
Mm-hmm.
My father was in the service.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to go against that. So pretty much if you told me what to do, I wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
I was grounded a lot.
I want to just make a, you were talking about you, I'm going to jump all the way back to where you were in treatment near the end there at Keys to Recovery. And then you said, and somebody made a suggestion and I took it. And when you said that, it was as if Like that was the first one you ever took?
Or? Yeah. Because every, okay.
So that makes okay, here sense we go. Now, okay? I get that. So suggestion, somebody telling you what to do is not going to be like.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
there you go.
So to take a suggestion.
Sure. Like that you know better.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Yeah.
I know better.
You know better.
Right. And
yeah.
I proved that.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Yeah. Okay, so, but strict upbringing.
Right. So and anything a bit of a rebel. Bad I could do, and yeah. It wasn't bad. I mean, I was not a bad kid.
Yeah.
I did go to school to socialize. I really didn't want to learn.
Mm.
I wanted to just have fun, and part of that was smoking pot and drinking, and because we want you to get good grades, we want you to get married, find a nice man, have a family. Well, I'm not going to do that then. If you tell me that's what you want, that's my personality. Getting a little better about that. A little.
A little
why
less,
am I talking to the mic?
A little
know.
Less defiant.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
So, just defiant.
Yeah, but not a bad kid.
No.
Not an A student, but not a you know.
Right. Graduated
not
high
a great
school.
Scholar, but did
right.
your thing and got
right.
out of high school.
Right.
So, and then. And then you drank. So you said you didn't go over the ledge until you were 30. So that's when you knew it.
That's when I crossed that line.
That's when you crossed the line. How did you know you crossed the line?
Because I was living in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Husband number two, and I had little babies, and I was not happy.
Yeah.
I was lonely. My husband worked all the time. I did not want to be a housewife. That's what he wanted me to be. He didn't want me to work. Didn't want me to go outside, you know, to work, just stay home and take care of the kids. We had money and everything, and most people would really think that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I did. And I wasn't happy at all. I was just miserable. I was lonely. I had nobody. We had no friends. My family wasn't there when my kids were born. They were both born in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I started drinking. And I would go to the liquor store after he went to work at like 9 in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning. And I started just buying a bottle of gin, not even mixing it. Excuse me. So at that point, I just started drinking every morning. I was so lonely and sad and hated my life. And that's when I believe I crossed the line, because I went to the liquor store every morning, sat my son in a high chair, and I just drank all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And he would come home and he'd say, "You drinking again?" No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but he
suck.
Knew.
Yeah.
He could smell it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then he'd be
yeah.
like, "Why are you doing it?" And I'd be like, "You know, I don't know." Or, you know, "I hate my life. I'm sad. I'm depressed." Well, you know, you have everything. We have money. You have not enough for me.
It wasn't
what I...
And I, you know, I mean, I wonder whether, you know, that was the trigger event. That's what lit it up for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it could have been, you know.
Well, I think way back then, even as a child, I kind of always wanted to numb feelings.
Okay.
I didn't think it was right to be sad. I didn't think it was right to hate people. I didn't think it was right to feel this way and that way. Excuse me. My fantasy is you should just be all happy and. The way we should be. For some reason, that was always in my mind that
yeah.
that's how people should be.
You think that's common with alcoholics in general? That they that numb feelings?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It seems to be.
Yes. We don't want to feel.
Yeah.
We have hurt and pain, and we have resentment, which you don't know about until you get into the program and you
just
work
get,
through the steps.
Yeah.
But back then. I didn't know anything about resentments and,
yeah, so.
And things like that. So I just didn't like the way it made me feel.
Yeah.
So when I was
pissed
drunk or on
and
drugs,
pissed off and bored, and
I was okay.
Yeah, so we'll make that go away. Bye-bye.
Right.
Buy a bottle of gin.
Couple
yeah.
of husbands, you know.
Couple of husbands.
That didn't work either.
Got to try it all, you know.
Yeah. Husband, gin, a little pot. Anything else to throw in the mixer?
Kids.
There you go. Tried that?
Still not enough.
Yeah.
Hey, while we're here, we got a couple. Somebody's been on the line since the beginning of the show.
Oh,
okay.
One of my fans.
Shall we take a caller?
And then,
sure, go ahead.
There's
okay.
actually. Let's see. I think we've got three now. So.
Okay, so we better take.
Well, let's see what happens.
Okay,
you try the first one.
Let's try
the
first
long
one.
Timer.
If they're yeah, let's try that.
And
who
then
is
if then we'll move on to the next.
Yeah, let's do that. Good timing.
All right, caller, prepare yourself.
Okay. Jan?
Hello?
Caller, are you there? You got a question?
They got bored, hung up.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Next caller.
Next caller, are you there?
From the 847 here.
Are you there? Anybody there? Over.
Hello.
10-4.
All right, well.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
So you give up, see? Is that what it's like?
We got one more. You want to
go? One more? Sure, let's go one more.
All right, one more.
Try it again.
All right.
All right, caller. We got a caller on the line.
Hey, this is Greg from Nashville. How you guys doing?
Oh, great. Good to hear from you, Greg. What do you got for us?
First of all, I'd like to say thank you to Tammy for sharing her story.
Hi.
Very important. It's funny. I bumped into you guys. I just posted on my little Facebook timeline of, you know, historic events in life and realized that I didn't put my sobriety date in there. So June of 95, I typed it in and started getting a bunch of responses from old high school friends and stuff. It was kind of cool. But I like what you said when you talked about not wanting to feel anything, because, you know, that's what we do. We bury, you know, we don't want to feel, so we bury. And then it put me in the mindset of there's a word, a medical term called anhedonia, which means the inability to feel anything. So it's this crazy thing. And, you know, you've been there, so you know what I'm talking about. In the beginning, when we drink, we don't want to feel what we're feeling. And
right.
If we drink long enough, we eventually couldn't feel something even if we wanted to feel it.
Right.
So it's like this vicious treadmill. But
so you kind of get what you thought you wanted, and then you find out you didn't want it.
Yeah, and you know, the most ironic thing that God's revealed to me in my 43 short years on this planet is everything that you thought, Greg, is the total opposite. You know, so, you know, we think it's one thing, and it's never far removed from what it is that we think it is. It's just simply the opposite of what we thought it was. And I think that's the two-sided coin, the metaphor that God built into everything, so we don't, well, I shouldn't say so we don't chase the answers, because we do, but once we finally get enough sense about us, we realize it's just on the other side of this thing. All I have to do is take the time to walk around and
not
look at it from
away.
The opposite.
Hey, let me ask you one quick, how did you get to us again?
Say again?
How did you get to us?
I found you on Blog Talk Radio. That's where I'm at.
Oh, good. Okay, great. Well, I'm glad to hear from you, and I'm glad to know that people in Nashville are listening to Recovery Internet Radio. That was
absolutely
exactly what we wanted to find out tonight. Thank you for your comments. We appreciate
it.
Thank
you.
Thanks.
Okay. That's good.
Nashville.
Hey.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay. So, and what I, you know, like what you were saying was about, you know, not wanting to feel. So back to, you know, your daily gin and the kid in the high chair and the unhappiness. And so where did that go from there? Just move us ahead a little bit. And how long did you stay? How long did you stay in that position?
About another 2 years. Then we moved to back home. To Crystal Lake, Chicago area.
Yeah.
And full well knowing I was going to have another divorce
because
I wasn't happy. Out of that relationship. So move me back home. That will make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
After I moved back home, I was divorced. And then I met you somewhere after that.
Somewhere in that time frame.
Yeah.
And that would have been 15 years ago, give or take.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good stretch.
Yeah, that's a good stretch. All right, well, maybe that's a good place for us to stop and take a little musical break. Are you ready to rock and roll, Mike? Or are you ready to jazz? Or what are you going to do? What is it? What do you call it?
Jazz.
And what are you going to play?
There's this arrangement of Summertime by the guitarist Emily Remler.
Okay, cool. All right.
She died of a heroin overdose.
Oh.
So it's sort of a memorial to her?
Sure.
Okay, I like it.
All right.
was nice.
Yeah. Nice.
Thank you.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, sure. we could do more of that at some point, but for right now, I think we'll. And I don't understand. Do we have another caller on the line?
We've got the two from before. We're gonna try again.
Yeah, let's give it another try here before we get rolling. Sure.
All right, we'll give him a second. And
there you go. A caller? Do we have a caller? We got anybody on?
From the 847. Hello?
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Don't be shy. We're not. Okay.
That's all right. We'll try again in a little while if we got time.
Okay. You got another one?
Yep.
Hello? Anybody there? Hi. You got a question? Open line. You got a question or a comment?
Can't hear you.
Okay. That's all right.
Okay.
Enjoy the show.
Thank you for trying. All right. So when's the first time that you tried to get sober?
I can't remember. Oh Lord.
Are we jumping ahead too far from that point? No, because if you and I were talking 15 years
right,
ago.
Right, no. Let me.
Yeah.
Give me a second here.
Okay.
When I moved back to Crystal Lake, I was divorced and I had my kids. My mother introduced me to you.
Oh, yeah, okay, sure.
So I want to say, well, my son was 3, my daughter was 1, and he's 20.
All right. So at about that time, and...
About that time...
The reason she introduced us... Oh, what's that?
Was big cocaine.
Okay.
That's where the... The cocaine overtook me along with the alcohol.
Yeah.
But it was more drugs than alcohol at that time, because then that's all I needed.
Right. And so I guess your family then knew about it, obviously, since...
Right, I was talking to my mom.
You're talking to your mom.
Right.
Did you think you had a problem at that time?
Yes, and that's when I called. I didn't tell my mom about it until it got to the point where I couldn't stop using it.
Okay.
You know, the drinking was always there.
Right.
But I don't think it was a daily thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I found drugs.
Yeah.
And that became a morning and night. You know, and then at that point, you know, I was using cocaine to stay up with my babies. My kids were babies, and then I was working as a hostess at a restaurant, and I had to stay up for my work. So then I would buy more to get through the night. Then I would go out after work and buy more. It was just a vicious cycle.
So you could stay away from the babies.
And then I couldn't stop using it, and then I called my mom.
Okay.
And we were in contact.
And what? And then did you go into treatment, or what happened after that? Did you...
I had an intervention with husband number 2 and my mother and my father and my brother and husband number 3-to-be showed up at my apartment, and I went to my first intervention.
Hmm.
I was first. I had my intervention, and
right.
I went to...
Do you remember what you thought about that?
I thought I didn't need it. They all showed up at my door, and I got really scared. And I thought,
right.
I don't need this. I don't need to go away.
Right.
And I remember my dad. I don't know. I went in to use the bathroom before we left, and I wanted to do some more.
Yeah.
And he actually came in the bathroom. And I'm like, Dad, I'm going to the bathroom. No, get out. No, and left. And I...
Do you think he knew that you were going to...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it took a lot for him to even be involved in that kind of thing.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So,
So isn't it interesting that you thought that you didn't need treatment, but you were in the bathroom doing blow before you...
Yeah, and the whole family there.
Yeah.
You I was bad to tell my mom that I was bad, to be introduced to someone, you know, someone like yourself. And then they showed up, and I was, like, so scared.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need this.
Right.
I don't need everybody here. What are you doing?
So then did you go to treatment?
I went to treatment.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, it was probably only a week or so.
Yeah.
And I was out.
Yeah.
A couple days later, back doing the same thing.
Right.
And then I went again.
Then you went again.
My mom and my brother.
Yeah.
And that just started all my treatment. I've been to a lot.
Do you know how many?
I know you're going to ask me that. I was going to actually look that up someday with looking at all the times and the dates and my periods in between and and all that. We're going to go with approximately four 28-day programs inpatient, 2 to 3 halfway houses, detox. I was like 15 times in 1 month. A couple suicide attempts up at the psych ward. Did I mention outpatient? Outpatient 3 times.
Yeah.
And still didn't stay sober.
Yeah. And that's over a period of?
Like 10.
10 years.
15. Okay, 15 from
years.
The first.
Yeah. Yeah.
15 years. That's a lot. And I felt safe. Most of those places I went, I just decided I'm going to call these places and go away because I felt safe. I did not feel safe on the street because I knew if I wasn't locked up, I would use and I would drink or I would use drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's insanity right there.
Yeah.
Knowing I can't, you know, stay in my house or go to work. I have to be locked up somewhere.
Like you couldn't trust yourself.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of myself.
What a horrible feeling. What's happened to the families and the family and the kids and all that stuff in that time period?
Well, at the intervention, when the family and my children's dad showed up, he had brought a piece of paper from a lawyer, and he was awarded residential custody at that time.
Yeah, so they stay with him.
So it's 50-50, but they reside with him, get him out of my house, and everything would be okay. And the guilt and remorse of just the children themselves,
mm-hmm.
I believe, had kept me out there the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Because every rehab, I would think I would get it, and then I would come back out, and all that would slap me in the face. How could I give up my kids?
Right.
And actually, some family members, you know, had said that.
Mm-hmm.
You gave up your children, you know, and society looks at it. You know, we've heard a lot about deadbeat dads. We don't hear much about deadbeat moms, and that's what I was.
Right.
I really was.
Right.
I accept that now, but at that time and all those years, it was very heart-wrenching. I even going to meetings and having a little kid there or somebody mentioned a child, I would just cry, and that was for years I did that.
Mm-hmm.
That guilt and shame stayed with me a really long time. Lessened a lot. I have a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Okay. You know.
Sure.
But I don't have to use over it today.
Right. Right. So you think that's the question I had in my mind was what all did, you know, what did you lose?
My children.
Yeah.
My license for 3 years.
Mm.
My self-respect. I lost me. Because I had no idea who the hell I was.
Mm.
Ever. I don't think I ever knew who I was. I didn't give myself a chance. You know, freshman in high school, started doing drugs.
Right.
I didn't know what I liked, what I didn't like. Hobbies, I had none. You know? I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't feel too good, did it?
No.
But then you don't know, I mean, when you're numbed out, you don't know what it feels
well,
like.
Well, and I didn't care. And, you know, the despair, you know, I remember thinking, I don't remember which point in those 10, 15 years, but there came a point where my children would be better off if I wasn't here.
Mm-hmm.
If if I killed myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because my third husband would bring the children, visit me in all these rehabs.
Mm.
So the kids would come and visit their mom. You know, mom's sick again. I'd be in the paper for DUI. The dad talking bad about mom, you know.
And you got to thinking that was dragging them through it?
Sure. Yeah. And then they shouldn't be watching this. I'm just going to keep doing it.
Right.
So I might as well just die because
right.
I'm never going to get it. Yeah, look at me now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Who'd have thought?
Who'd have thought? And you were talking about, earlier on, we were talking about that you felt hopeless about yourself and everybody that you knew pretty much or that knew you was hopeless about you too.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we're jumping ahead, but nine years.
We're going back and forth, fine.
9 years, three months ago, you got sober.
Right.
What happened? What, did you get hit over the head with a board or something? What happened?
No, I got tired of picking my bag. And it was after that property, that camping trip, is when it could have been the ultimatum from my husband at the time. For some reason,
after the Mendota detox,
right,
and then back home,
right, and then him bringing me back home, I had called somebody in the program and met her at a meeting. And I remember laying there, and I was so scared because I'm thinking, okay, tomorrow morning I have to go to a meeting, I have to do something,
mm-hmm.
And I was really scared. I remember that feeling. I was hurting physically.
Like still detoxing, so?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who I am. I don't know what's going to happen. But it just made me realize after 3 months of sobriety, and I did it again.
Yeah.
That's where I was at in my mind. And then what am I going to do? And this is going through my mind. What am I going to do now? Pack my bags again, go away again? Because going away is not solving my problem.
Yeah,
so all that going through, we proved that.
Yeah, we've done that a few times.
So,
right.
I just called this girl and...
Did she say anything to you that you remember?
I don't remember.
Did anybody say anything to you in that time frame that stuck in your head that was helpful to you? What gave you hope?
You mean between the 15 in the 15 years?
No, I mean when I
finally got tired of doing the same thing.
Packing your bags and you called her up and you went to a meeting.
No, my husband just said everything will be okay. And he just held me and I felt awful, but I knew, you know, it's funny because meetings were humiliating. I wasn't an alcoholic or a drug addict, because that's a really bad label. That was a very bad label.
Yeah, for a nice girl like you.
Yeah, I didn't look like one. In my eyes, I looked okay. I didn't really look in the mirror a lot, but...
What do alcoholics look like anyway?
I had a picture. One of my rehabs, we had to draw what we thought an alcoholic looked like.
Right.
And I drew this really dirty lady with scraggly hair,
mm-hmm.
and mud and dirt all over her face and her teeth missing,
mm-hmm.
and a grocery cart full of groceries like on the street of Chicago. I didn't look like that.
Homeless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I couldn't.
Brown paper bag?
No bag, just a big old cart.
Just the cart.
Maybe there's a case of beer in there. I don't know. I didn't miss that part, but I was focusing on her looks.
Yeah.
That's where I went. I did not look like that.
Yeah. So the stereotype, you didn't fit the stereotype, so.
I look good on the outside. Well,
yeah.
I shouldn't say that, but I thought I looked okay on the outside.
Right.
Of course, on the inside, I was, you know, dead.
Right. So you were still looking on the outside.
Yeah.
Okay. So even when you were going to meetings, even at this time, you still didn't feel like you were humiliated because you really didn't belong. You really didn't.
I kind of snuck in and out.
Yeah.
Until I lost my license. Mm-hmm. And that was the best thing that happened to me, which, of course, I couldn't see that then. I was a little resentful at the Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Three DUIs and you're taking my license.
What's
the matter with that?
Yeah.
So I can see that now. It was God's work, by the way. Now I can see that.
Yeah.
And so I had to ask for rides.
Oh.
So in order to do that, I had to wait while they talked before and after the meetings, and I had to hang around because I had to have a ride.
Yeah.
So I had to call, pick up that 10-pound phone and ask for a ride. And then I'm thinking the whole time, well, oh God, she's going to be talking all the time. She's not one of these in-and-out people. All right, I have to wait it out. So then I got more, a lot of people said, you have to go to meetings until you like going to meetings. And you might even mention that. I will never like meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. Meetings. I don't like meetings.
No. So you hadn't gone enough yet.
Right. Now I like them. Now that's my family. You know, that's my second family. Those are all my friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Go till you want to. That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Go till you want to.
I'm like, I'm never going to want to.
I ain't there yet.
I'm not going to want to.
So, but when you lost your license, that was what made you, you know, so you had to ask for a ride, so you had to listen to all this
stuff.
Be accountable.
I had to pick up the phone.
And it's humbling to have to pick up the phone.
Yeah, and ask for a ride.
Yeah, maybe you're starting to look a little bit more, you know, feeling like maybe you really are an alcoholic then, more like that? Or
the more I sat around the room and listened to I went to a lot of speaker meetings.
Yes.
And listening to the speaker and the stories that I could relate to. And here's another mom that lost her kids, or I've even heard some stories where their child has died from an alcoholic, or even them.
Sure.
In their care.
Sure.
And I was thinking, how about dealing with that? And I was driving around drunk with mine.
Yeah.
So,
did you get busted for that?
Once again, not with the kids in the car.
Yeah, because I think there's
the 3 DUIs.
A special penalty for that now. Do you think, what do you think about the term hitting bottom? What does that mean?
I had many.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't really mean anything to me. Everybody's so-called bottom is different.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a matter of if, say, we choose to call it our bottom.
It's not necessarily one dramatic event.
I don't think so. No, I lost my kids. I lost my license. 3 marriages.
X number of detoxes.
Jail. I forgot 57 days in county. That was, like, wonderful.
Yeah.
That's when I first read the big book.
So things... Events conspired, or there were these strange coincidences which put you in these places where you had to do things like you needed rides, so you had to listen to people. You had to go to jail to read the big book. You're kind of a hard head, aren't you?
A little bit. But it's getting better, I told you.
Yeah, well, I heard you say I took a suggestion. It was like, I took a suggestion.
Well, that's what's funny is because every single rehab 28 day that I went to, they had my plan, they had my care plan, and they were all the same. Rehab, halfway house, rehab and a halfway house, and they weren't short. They weren't like 2 weeks. And then outpatient. Yeah. So you're talking all these years of care. Well, I don't need that. I have to go to work.
Right.
Because I lost another job. I've had many jobs.
Right.
You know, I have to work, so I would be like, okay.
How long have you had the jobs that you're in now?
I've been doing home care for about 10 years on
that.
The side.
Look at that.
And actually, my first was a man from AA, and he had passed away, but little did I know, through one of my sponsors, he had, 34 years sobriety.
Wow. Then you did.
And it was cool because I could just drive around his Mercedes and go to AA meetings.
Yeah.
And
you
I could
got a
talk
license
to him.
Like that.
Yeah. So that was really neat. And then my I work at a facility. I've been there 3 years.
So I guess we're.
So I'm very accountable and dependable.
Yeah.
I show up.
You show up.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. Well, I actually have two questions, and I don't know how quickly we can do this, but because we have just a little bit of time left. But what would you say for you was the biggest obstacle? What was the biggest obstacle to you getting sober? What was the thing about Tammy that stood in the way of Tammy getting sober?
Not having a higher power.
Yeah. Didn't
I was
have
thinking
any,
about that question. I'm thinking, wow, that's a hard one.
Didn't have any belief?
No. No higher power.
And you think you need a higher power to get sober?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I did not come in with one at all.
Yeah.
And even though we did the
Lord's
Prayer.
Did you ever think that that would be possible for you?
No. I practiced that a lot in my program today after 9 years. That's where I'm focusing at. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Working on a, you know.
Yeah.
More of a higher power belief and faith.
Yeah.
Trying to build that more and more.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was the biggest obstacle for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you were doing Tammy Power all that time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I was empty inside.
Yeah.
My soul.
Yeah.
I really believe that, and I wouldn't have thought that unless I came to AA.
Right.
I mean, I was raised Catholic, but I didn't hear anything the priest was saying up there. I was like always looking around to see who was here. I did that all the time. My grandmother would always give me this half a piece of gum. Tell me to sit still, because I, you know, just here, you know. I didn't hear anything that they said, but I remember confession.
Nothing. Okay. What would you say to people if you could, you know, say a thing or two to folks who are struggling with addictions and have had multiple relapses? What would you say to them? You know, I mean, got any wisdom?
Have to go to meetings.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Those in and out of 10 years and those little bouts of sobriety, it was a half measure kind of person, maybe went to meetings, didn't have a sponsor, maybe the sponsor didn't go to meetings. There is no half measure. My feeling on that is meetings, sponsor, steps to maintain any amount of time, whether it be 3 days,
mm-hmm.
whether it be the next day. And
you had to step all the way in.
But I would say meetings first, you know, meetings first.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go to meetings every morning so I could stay sober through the day.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would go to meetings every night to keep me sober that night. That's how I did it for probably the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I had to because I didn't want to drink. And that was the only way to do it. Because once again, I'm out there. I'm not locked up.
Right. You're on the street.
I'm on the street.
Just,
watch out.
It's just Tammy.
Oh, everybody run.
Beware. Look out.
Here she comes.
There she comes. There she goes.
But, you know, I'd lost all those jobs, so I was at the time able to go to those many meetings.
That's another interesting coincidence, isn't it?
Jobs?
Yeah, lose a job, so you have to go to meetings. Well,
yeah.
I don't know.
Could be God's work.
All these weird things go on.
I don't know.
I don't know what that's all about. So for you, if you were to give advice to people, do you have hope today?
Meetings, a lot.
Do you?
Yes. A lot of hope that if you're a chronic relapser like I am, you can get sober. You can stay sober. You know, I know the helplessness because I thought I couldn't either because, God, I did it again. I keep doing it. I'm never going to get it. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
And you can get it. But
and here you are, 9 years and 3 months later, sitting here telling your story on a radio show with hope. Whether, you know, even the fact that you have a roof and have a car and have a job and all that, I mean, that's great, and I'm glad for you. But you got hope.
Mm-hmm.
You got hope. You've got friends. You've got people that care about you and love you. You've got hope. You got
everything. Yeah, my kids love me.
Can't be bought. Are you reconnected with your kids?
Oh yes. Absolutely. A lot. And they respect me and to resilient. They don't have a problem. You know, when I did the amends, they're like, yeah, it's okay, Mom. And I'm thinking, no, you got to be mad. Don't you hate me? Aren't you mad at me? No, it's all right.
You've been dying inside for the last 15 years.
No, it's okay.
And they're okay.
It's okay. Are we done now?
Yeah.
Great. Sure. That's what they said.
So that's it? That's it? No more?
Good. Well, I am very happy that you have hope and that you were here tonight to pass a little bit of that along, because that's why I asked you here. Because you can't, that's something you can't buy.
No, you can't.
You can't buy that.
No.
That's something special. So, and I'm sorry we didn't get to those other couple callers that called. I don't know what happened. Maybe they gave up. Maybe we did. But call in next week if you have a question. I'm glad that we are able to close. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
It's an honor. Thank you.
Thank you.
We picked the perfect song for you.
Yeah. Well, what are we playing?
Just enjoy the song and your outro. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, thanks, Mike, for playing the music. And to our listening audience and our studio audience for making us a successful little underground support source for the recovering community. We'll email out reminders for next week's show. And please, if you'd like to get a reminder,
visit us on our website at www.recoveryinternetradio.com.
Give us your email. Mm-hmm. And we'll send you a reminder. We like to look at recovery from a wide open perspective, and we hope we share with you lots of different ways to look at things. Remember to check our website for archive shows, and remember that we want to hear from you so that we know where you are.
Yeah,
we'd love to hear.
We'll put a pin on the map for you.
Then we got Nashville tonight, so we know. Yeah, we'll get a map.
We'll
put some pins on it. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
And so as always, live today, love yourself and your neighbor, and together we'll try. It's a happy road to destiny. We hope you've enjoyed the show tonight. We'll see you at 8 o'clock next Sunday.
Thanks.
Thank you.